There are so many inspiring women who follow Hike Like a Woman, and Pam Miles is just one of those women, and she is amazing. She is a survivor of generational domestic violence, and she talks a lot about finding strength and finding comfort and healing by getting outside and connecting with nature. And this seems to be a common thread that just weaves us, so many of us, together. And I'm excited to introduce Pam to you. Pam will be talking at our upcoming summit, May 8th through the 12th. And she just has so much wisdom to share with us. So I will go ahead and let you enjoy my conversation with Pam. And if you want to learn more about our summit, registration opens on February 1st, and you can find all the details, hikelikeawoman.com.
I found the story on one of your blog posts that was really beautiful. You said, you wrote, "For many, nighttime in the woods alone can bring fear. But when I look up, as small and insignificant as I might be, in comparison to the vastness of that star-filled sky, I'm standing right where I need to be. Or I'm sorry, I'm standing right where I need to be to see it. Sometimes I think life is that way. We need to be at a certain place and time to see the beauty despite the darkness which surrounds us. We see where we are. We need to be okay with standing alone in the wilderness, darkness, to see where we truly are." I read that and I almost started crying because it was such a powerful, it was just like, just such powerful words about having the courage to stand alone and also to brave the darkness. And so I might have just pulled back some of your history, but do you want to tell us about what that means to you and why you wrote that?
Yeah. So I think we all encountered moments of darkness or shadow. Sometimes we don't even see it until we retrospect, look back in our lives and go, well, that was really a crappy time, right?
Yeah.
But I think it's important to notice it, either looking back and then to sit in that, or what's even sometimes more powerful is when you can recognize it in the moment it's happening and to not be overcome by that darkness and fear, but to go, okay, there is good that's going to come out of this, something, and maybe you don't know what it is, to hold on to that hope that there is something that's going to be bright and brilliant coming out of that moment, that dark moment. I've had a lot of dark moments in my life, more of imposed upon me that I didn't have control over. Sometimes our dark moments are because of our own decisions that we make in life. And sometimes those are decisions that are forced upon us and we have no control. I think we all can relate to that. So that idea that when you're out on the trail, you can succumb to the fear of being isolated and alone in the darkness, or you can just take that pause and take a deep breath and truly take in your surroundings. And even if it wasn't a clear sky, you can hear the noises of the amazing creation around you, and just to find the positive.
It's hard to do sometimes. Whenever I'm kind of struggling or going through a difficult challenge, I always tell myself that the sun comes up every morning, even after the coldest, darkest night. The sun always comes up. There has not been a moment in the history of mankind when the sun has not come up after a cold, dark night. Agreed. And so that always gives me hope. And I think when I read that on your blog, I was like, oh, this is a kindred soul here who recognizes that dark is not necessarily bad, but
no, you can't see the amazing stars without being in that dark moment, right? Yeah. But you have to be aware that there's something beyond the darkness that engulfs you, and that there is something greater and bigger and just beautiful as well beyond that initial bubble you might think you're alone in.
Yeah.
I say the same thing when people are like super stressed about, I didn't get this done on my to-do list or this on my to-do list. And I'm like, full pause. The sun will rise tomorrow if you didn't get that email done. It's okay.
Yeah. It all seems like such a big deal in the moment, but really in the grand scheme of things, it's quite insignificant.
Yeah. I doubt there's anybody on their deathbed going, oh, I never got my emails out on time. I highly doubt that. I didn't pause enough to appreciate enough to spend time enough, you know? Just recently my kids are asking, you know, they're all adult, what do you want for Christmas? And I just, my first response these days is, I just want more time.
Oh,
I want more time to be with you, more time to do crafts, more time to hike, more time to rest and renew, just more time. I need more time.
Yeah, it's the only non-renewable resource that we personally possess.
Yep.
Within our being.
And we have control over how we spend it too. Yeah.
We do. Yeah. Yeah. I recently made a huge career shift, and I did it because I intentionally realized my children are getting older. I'm getting older. I don't need to work 60 hours a week. I can tailor that back and still feel like an accomplished woman. So I love that time is also precious to you. You talked about the darkness. You talked about time. Can you tell us a little bit about your history and what you're doing to help other women who might have been through some dark times too?
Yeah. So my book, Mile Zero, is about breaking that multi-generational cycle of domestic violence. It's my memoir. And a lot of people go, you're not old enough to write a memoir. Well, let me just tell you, I've lived a few lifetimes. Growing up in domestic violence and then repeating the cycle by marrying into it. And when my son was a year old on his first birthday, he was almost killed, and I had had too many trips to the hospital, and so had my daughter, that it became that awareness of, yes, we're in a dark moment, but this doesn't have to be the end of what we're going to be living the rest of our lives. And I had to make a decision.
Oh,
and so knowing that you're not alone in decision-making, I think is a really important time, especially in those dark times. Mm-hmm. I had an amazing, when I finally spoke the words, you know, too often when you're in domestic violence situations, you hold it in because you believe your perpetrator's words, that you're not worthy, you're not good enough. The problem is you, right? You believe these things. But when you start getting out and understanding that this is that person's point of view, it's not your reality of who you are, those changes can happen. And to then confide in others and ask for help is huge. And so one of those things I love to do is build women back up after they have left domestic violence situations, and for them to find that inner strength. And people find that on the trail. So I've led for over a decade now, until recently, into the last couple of years and COVID and stuff, hikes over what we call the Cascades up here in Washington State, a cross Cascade hike. And there's been people who come on this that are grieving loss of parents, or change in relationship or job or things like that, or just getting older, right? Mm-hmm. We grieve all these different transitions in our lives, but how do we build community? We leave the trailhead together and no one's left behind. We support each other and we encourage each other along the trail. And so there will be moments where you're walking and you've got distance between you and the person next to you. But at the same time, we all gather at the end of the day and reflect and go, okay, what was the greatest struggle on the trail today? And where was that moment where you recognized something in yourself and found inner strength that you didn't think you had? There's people that get to the top of the mountain, man, they're throwing a fist or a finger at the sky. There's some that get down on their knees and they cry. And there's some that are just dancing. Like, look at what I did. I never thought I had this in me to do. And when you can do that on the trail, you can go back into life and go, when those dark times happen, you know, you have that inner strength and you know that you're not alone, that you can have community in the real world too, beyond the trail world.
Yeah.
And I would never have been able to leave that domestic violence situation if I hadn't done that first moment of I need, right? Mm-hmm. And to be able to have community help me get out of that situation for me and my children. And so, I think that's for me is always making sure my office door is open. The more I seem to share my story, the more women come into my door, close it and say, so I've got this friend, I don't know what to do. Or I'm dealing with this right now and can you help me? I don't have all the answers, but I can help connect resources. So that's what I try to do, and to sort of just let them know they're not alone. We're never alone.
That's so powerful. We all need to hear that. We all need to hear it. And I think as you were describing the feeling of being on a trail with other women and standing at the summit, that is what I love about what I do as a guide, is that that moment, right, where a woman is she's hiking up this mountain and she's exhausted and she's hungry and she's getting blisters and she feels like she just can't keep putting one foot in front of the other to get to the summit, and she reaches the summit and she's just filled with so much gratitude and joy and just this amazing, amazing experience. And that is, I haven't experienced domestic violence, but I can imagine that as you're climbing out of such a terrible situation, it's hard to put one foot in front of the other and it's hard to keep going. And I love that analogy that you gave of climbing the mountain, because I think it's so powerful for anyone. Why do you think nature is so healing?
Oh my. It removes all of our excuses.
Yeah.
I think in the real world, if you want to call it the real world, the busy world, we use excuses a lot of, well, I didn't get to this because of this situation or that situation. On the trail, you are laid bare.
Yeah.
It comes down to you and your strength, your inner drive, and how you mentally play yourself. I mean, literally, we are our greatest evil person against ourselves. You know, there's a saying that says the greatest and strongest voice that will be with you your whole entire life is you. Speak kindly. Speak kindly. And yet so often we hear those self defecating words against ourselves of, you're not going to make it. Oh, this is too hard. I can't do it. But what would be if we reverse those words of, I know this is hard, and yet you can do it. I know this hurts right now, and yet it's just another quarter mile, you know? Yeah. So not to say, I always try to say, don't use the word but, because it negates everything before, right? So don't say, I know this is hard, but, because no, it is hard.
Yeah.
Say it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Live in that moment. And yet, it's not always going to be hard. There's going to be a time where you're going to start coming back down. Mm-hmm. Well, for some people, going down is hard. But that idea that there's going to be hills and valleys, mm-hmm. and that's life, right? And as glorious as the top and the summit is, we also can't stay there forever. And so we got to come back down. We got to do some of the hard work and go back up again.
Yeah.
But wow. Yeah. I think the more we can, more women we can take along with us to realize potential mm-hmm. and strength and camaraderie, rather than tearing each other down and judging, that we work unified together is so powerful. To not compare tragedies, but to say, you know what? Yeah. You had a hard time too.
Yeah.
And maybe my hard time is not as difficult as yours, but that's my self-judgment. I don't need to put that on another woman saying, well, mine is minor compared to yours, or mine is more than yours. That's not helpful.
No.
We have a unified darkness that has encountered women in general by society. And yet, how can we lift each other up and continue to the summit that I know we can all get to?
It's those common threads that weave us together. Right? Like my darkness has been different than your darkness and different than somebody else's darkness who's going to join us for the summit. But we've all been there in a certain way, and recognizing that is really important. So that you're going to, at our summit, speaking of our summit, you're going to give a talk. And do you want to, in 60 seconds or less? So I want you just to give your general, like, What's my talk going to be about? I don't want to give away too much because I want people to come and listen to your full talk at the summit. But what's the topic that you're going to talk about, and why is it important to you?
To provide space for women to acknowledge that we've all had darkness touch our lives, grief and transition, and to find that inner strength mm-hmm. that they may not have known, and to speak that out loud to each other. To give hope and inspiration to each other. Through my own personal story, I hope to be able to share that inspiration and hope, but to light a flame in each of them, that no matter what darkness they have had, mm-hmm. they will see in another woman and themselves that they are what I love to call wounded healers for each other.
When you were saying that, I had this beautiful picture in my mind of an exercise I did once, where one woman lit a candle and everybody else had a candle, and together they lit the candles and the darkness just ceased to exist, because all of these individual little sparks of light became a huge beam of light, just lighting the way. And as you were saying, as you're talking about that, I had that beautiful picture in my mind, and I'm really excited to hear more of your story and hear about what you're doing to help bring light and hope to women who might be feeling a little discouraged and down. So you're a hiker. You like to be outside.
I am. And it's been a trying last 3 years. So I got out of the domestic violence situation and became myself again. I had been very athletic in my younger years. And then that was a season of my life that was stolen. And so getting that back, the kids growing up, being this active mom, going back to school. I never went and got my undergrad, and then going on and getting my master's. I'm the first one in my family to ever graduate college, let alone going on to a master's degree. And then I got remarried in 2020. And there's a hilarious story connected with that, because it all was about hiking rocks. 3 weeks after I got married, I had a brain bleed, and I had to have subsequent brain surgery. And so I had to relearn how to walk. I didn't know if I was ever going to get on the trail again and backpack solo, things like that. And so once again, that dark moment, and how are you going to get out of that dark moment? It was easier to stay in bed and not ever get out of bed. And so to just overcome that darkness, and to realize I had a lot of people rooting for me and supporting me and encouraging me was huge. And my new normal is walking on a waterbed 24/7. That's my new normal. But it's going to stop me from doing what I love to do. And so last summer, I went backpacking the Cross Cascade hike solo by myself, because I figured I can't lead a team if I can't do it myself, because I have to be you know, the leader and be the responsible person. And the trail beat me up pretty good. I had some pretty good bruises.
Yeah.
I learned a lot about myself. And although in the past I've always loved hiking and backpacking by myself, it was metaphoric for, although it's hard and I'm capable of doing it, I also don't have to do hard things by myself.
Yes. Everybody needs to know that.
Yeah. So I'm hoping to bring that in as well, that yes, you are capable. Everyone is capable of overcoming hard things by themselves, but you don't have to do it by yourself.
Yeah. Speaking of doing hard things by yourself, let's say that you could take a hike with anyone dead or alive.
Oh.
Who would you choose and why?
Oh my gosh. I would pick Morgan Freeman.
Okay.
His voice is so soothing. He seems very intuitive, and he always, if you listen to some of his interviews, he speaks about the power of the women in his life and how they have molded him. He is. And as much as I am an advocate for women and hiking and empowerment, I also know that we have this counterpart to us that mold us. They can break us or they can mold us. They support us. And to hear a wise man share about his women in his life and how it's molded him sort of makes me understand the power of motherhood.
Sisterhood,
and how I have a responsibility to mold not only the females around me, but the males around me too.
Yeah. I have two boys, and I think about that a lot. You know, how am I showing them my strength and my courage?
Yeah.
Are they seeing me do hard things?
Yeah.
I think that's important.
No, exactly. I think we have to give empowerment to women. We also have to encourage the understanding to these younger men growing up how to treat and how to view women in their lives. And society has programmed them just as much as us on how we treat our counterparts. And so how do we rewrite that narrative is going to be really important. And we have that responsibility as strong women.
Darn it.
I know. Responsibility.
Yeah. It's up to us, though. It's up to us to raise that next generation of men.
Yeah.
Ah, so powerful. Pam, it's been so fun talking to you. Where can people go to learn more about you and what you do? Where can we find your book?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So Mile Zero is found on Amazon and Barnes and Noble. It's also provided directly from the publisher, Book Baby. And so you can get the book there.
Okay.
It's not on Audible. I have that asked a lot, but it is on Kindle. So you can get it digitally as well. Okay. My blog is another place to encounter me, and I will try to be better about doing that blog, which is fascinating. Is I had been hiking for decades, right? And then somebody said, you should start a blog because I do leading of these hikes and everything and Wilderness Wednesday day hikes and stuff like that. And they're like, you should start a blog. And so I was like, okay, I'll start a blog. And the very next day, I'm not kidding you, September 2018, I started the blog. The very next day, I had a climbing accident and I blew my right knee and ACL, had to be reconstructed. And I was like, talk about another dark moment. It's like, well, now how do I write encouraging, uplifting things? But it was an opportunity for me to go, hey, this is the reality, and share some of that along the journey. I haven't written since my 1 year brainiversary.
Yeah.
So I need to get back on that. And it is a joy to write and to just share little snippets. I think one of my favorites on my blog is about the hammock. I don't know.
Oh, yes. I saw that. Like you're being held when you're in a hammock.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we all need to be held by community, by fellow sisters, and just know, you know what? It's okay to be held. Yeah. You can be strong and still be held.
And sometimes we need to be the one doing the holding.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
Because people need us.
Yeah.
Pam, so beautiful talking to you.
Oh, thank you for the pleasure. And I look forward to the summit. I am really excited. I'm honored. Thank you.
Isn't Pam inspiring? She has such a beautiful and powerful message. And I'm excited for her presentation at the summit because it's something that I need to hear in my own life. And so if you enjoyed this conversation and if you want to join us for our summit, tickets go on sale February 1st. This is going to be the event for and by outdoor women. It's going to be great. So you can join us from anywhere in the world. And you can find those details over on our website, hikelikeawoman.com.